Welcome to the Friday LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Corey DeCaro, and I serve as the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. I'm grateful to have you listening today. With it being the holiday weekend, we chose to hit the pause button on our label series, and in doing so, we looked at an important passage of scripture that both personally and missionally impacts us today. Before we look at this scripture, I'm reminded of an overseas missions trip I went on years ago. There was about 20 of us on the team, and we flew out of Columbus, Ohio on United Airlines and needed to make a connecting flight in Newark, New Jersey that would take us overseas. Well, at Newark, things took an interesting turn. The airline didn't let seven of us on the connecting flight because they had double booked the seats, and things got a bit hectic. The employees were frantically working and trying to figure out a solution, but in doing so, they started bickering and yelling and arguing with one another. It was a sight to behold. Well, my friend Doug, his patience had worn out, and in the middle of the airport, he shouts, "Come on, United! Stay united!" It was pretty hilarious if you were there. Well, in the book of Philippians, the church at Philippi was experiencing some division and rivalry amongst one another. And so Paul writes to them and he encourages them to stay united. He says in verse 2 of chapter 2, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind." Paul says here, "have the same mind." He says that twice. Then he says, "have the same love." He says, "have the same heart." All of these examples speak to the idea of a deep, abiding, internal unity amongst Christians. Paul wanted those in Philippi to experience the joy of unity that comes from knowing Christ. Because you see, Paul knew that division and rivalry aren't solved by committees and rules and threats and regulations. They were solved when our hearts and our minds are right with Jesus, and when our hearts and minds are right with others. There's joy in that. There's love in that. There's unity in that. And so Paul follows up his call for unity with instructions on how to achieve and practice unity. In verse 3, he says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit." This is the what not to do, right? And so what not to do is, Paul says, don't have selfish ambition, which is self above others approach. He says, don't have conceit. This is an excessive pride that leads to empty glory. He says there's no unity in that thinking. And so Paul says, do nothing from that mindset because it divides and it tears apart and it disunites. Well, Paul doesn't leave us with that. He just doesn't leave us what not to do. He then goes on to instruct us on what to do. And in the middle of verse 3, he says, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. He says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, this was a huge countercultural statement at the time, because during Paul's day, humility was looked at as a weakness in character. But Paul knew that genuine humility was not a weakness, but a strength. That humility in thinking about and valuing others above ourselves is the key to unity. I love how C.S. Lewis describes humility. He says, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. That when we put others first, it becomes the antidote to being conceited and proud and selfish and divided. And I think here's what's beautiful about Paul's instructions. It's this, that if I consider you above me and you consider me above you, an amazing thing happens. All of a sudden, we have this community and these relationships where everyone is looked up to and no one is looked down on. Think about that for a moment. Think about applying this mindset to our lives. Think about if we had this humility in our lives. Think about if we regarded others more important than ourselves and how this would impact things. I gotta believe that this would change our marriages, our friendships, our work environments, schools, campuses, families, neighborhoods, even churches. It would change how conflict happens and global relations and poverty and violence. It would change all of that. Well, Paul goes on in verses 5 through 11 and he shows us what this looks like in our daily lives by pointing us to Jesus' example of humility and counting others more significant than himself. And in verse 13, Paul brings things to a personal and missional application for us. He says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And he goes on in verse 15, calling us children of God in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That personally, God is working in you, and he's working in you for his good pleasure. And not only is God working in you, but he's calling you to go be a bright, shining light in the dark, divided, and broken world that we live in. We can simply say it like this: God is working in you, and he wants to do something through you. That God is working in you, and he wants to do something through you. Let that sink in today. That God is working in you, and he wants to do something through you. That's unbelievably personal and missional at the same time. And Paul is saying, for that to happen, he says, Christians, stay united. He says, do that in love and in humility and in service and in sacrifice with the mindset of Christ, shining as bright lights in a dark world for the glory of God. Let me pray for us, but then maybe take some personal time to reflect on how God is personally working in you and how he wants missionally to work through you. Think about that in the context of your work environment, your school, your neighborhood, your marriage, your family, your kids' extracurricular events. Think about all those areas, how God would begin to use you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to bring about the reality of counting others more significant than ourselves. Help us to be like Jesus in this way. Thank you that we don't have to search for that mindset, but as Paul says, it's already ours in Christ Jesus. Thank you for working in us. Thank you for showing us how to personally and missionally live these things out. And Lord, help us to do that right where you have us, right in the community you've placed us, right in the circle of influence you've given us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.